Today's scripture will be 1 Corinthians 9, 23 through 25. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown.
Let me start off by saying good evening, and what a pleasure it is being in the house of the Lord. If you all have heard that I was under the weather here for a couple of days, it was really tough for me, but I want to say to everyone who reached out, my phone, by text, by card, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Also, I celebrated me and my wife's anniversary. And also want to thank everyone who reached out and wished us a happy anniversary. And I received cards in the mail. I'm telling you, there's no greater congregation than the Eastland congregation. Ever since I've been here, I've felt like family, like we've always been here. And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so, so much. I'm so blessed to be able to share the years that I have with my wife. And I just want her to know that her love was custom made for my heart. So I just want to tell you thank you, Dekenna, for all these wonderful years that we've shared together. Speaking of which, I wanted to say that Adam and Eve were very lucky. And the reason why I said they were very lucky is because Adam never had to hear his wife compare him to any other man that she could have married. Nor could Eve have to hear Adam compare her cooking to his mom's. So either way, I just felt like they were lucky. They didn't have any issues or any problems. Before I begin, you know, I always like to make sure that you guys are ready. I know you've had your chicken and all your dressing and all your fixings and all those things, but I want to make sure you're sharp. There was this two young men, and they were visiting their grandmother, and it was time for bed. Grandmother said, "You know the drill. Say your prayers." And they said, "All right." So they go in the room, and the two little brothers began to pray. But one brother, he was really into it. He was really getting into it. He was like, "Thank you, Lord, for all your many wonderful blessings." And he started to get loud, and he was like, "And so I thank you so much for all that you've done for me. And I just know that you're going to bless me with a new bike. And then after that, I know that you're going to bless me with a flat screen TV. And I know you're going to bless me with a PlayStation 4. And then the other brother looked at him and said, "Why are you screaming? God isn't deaf. He can hear you." He says, "I know, but grandmother is." Christian Olympics. I want to talk about Christian Olympics. Preparing to run the race. We got to be ready to run the race. When you think about running the race, before you even run the race, you need to be prepared to run the race. A lot of people are running, but they're not quite prepared. A lot of people are trying to get in the race, but they're not prepared. So if you do have your Bibles with you or your electronic devices, if you would please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 26 and 27. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 26 and 27. And it reads, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul's first epistle to the church at Corinth contained a lot of correction. But in chapter 9, Paul is discussing something very important. He's discussing the freedoms that he has in Christ. However, he also speaks about how he tempers those freedoms by considering those whom he's preaching. He's saying to himself, "I have to consider what it is that I'm doing. I have to be prepared. I have to look the part. I have to act the part, because here I am talking about these things. I'm preaching these things because his goal is to reach the lost with the gospel. And you cannot reach the lost with the gospel if your life doesn't reflect the very things that you're teaching." But he was willing to sacrifice all of this. All of this with his freedom. So then he uses the illustration about competing. He uses the illustration about the games. He's talking about competing, about being in a race, and he's competing for not a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. And he speaks about what's necessary in order to achieve this. What is necessary for me to achieve this incorruptible crown? It is necessary for you to run. You got to run. But not only run, you have to run to win. So a lot of people are running, but they don't know what they're running for. They don't know who they're running to, and they don't know what the end goal is. A lot of people are just running. And so what he says is, because I understand the importance of running, it is necessary for me to run in such a way that I win. So I subject my will to his. And by doing so, I want to run faithfully. I want to run faithfully. So what he does is he prepares himself. So what do we need to do to be prepared to run this race? The race that is set before us, what do we need to do? Well, the first thing is we got to have the proper attitude. You have to have the proper attitude. Attitude is important when you're doing anything, but it's definitely important when you are running a race. Now, I know that we may have heard this before, but I want to remind you that any individual who says, I can't, won't. Any individual says, I can't, they won't. Because if you won't, you can't. I won't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it. So for all of us that are here this evening that suffer from I can't, I want you to meet me after service in my office. And I want to get you. I can write you a prescription. I'm authorized to write you a prescription for can do. I can write you a prescription for can do, because if you can't, I can help you do it. And the way that I will do so is by showing you the word of God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. All things, not some, not half, but all. And I have the prescription. It's right here in the B-I-B-L-E. So if you want to meet me after service, let me get you some can do. We must have a can do attitude in all seriousness. In order to run the race, you have to have a can-do attitude, and you also have to be determined. When you talk about determination, what does that mean? What is determination? What does it mean for me to be determined? Well, let me tell you this story. There was an Olympic runner. It was the Olympics in Mexico, 1968. It was the final event of the marathon. And it was at the Olympic Stadium. And I'm talking about it's packed. It is exciting. You can hear all the roars and the cheers as the first Ethiopian runner runs into the stadium to cross the finish line first. The crowd is roaring. He's running hard. He's the first one across the line. The place is erupting. And way back on that track and field is another runner. His name is John Stephen Akwara. He is from Tanzania. He's been eclipsed by runners. They run in circles around him. But he's running. And after 30 kilometers, he's running. He begins to cramp. His head is hurting. He's in excruciating pain. He is throbbing. All his muscles are beginning to fail him. And he falls to the ground. He has serious injuries. He's in pain. And with all his strength, with all his might, he gets some help. They bandage up his knees and put all the stuff around him. And he hobbles up. And now he's hobbling. And he's hobbling. With his knees bandaged together, he manages to hobble the last 12 kilometers. And as he does so, he's doing it with all this pain in him. It's an hour that's passed. An hour. It was thousands of people in the stadium. They're now gone. It's a few people left. He's still running. He gets there to the finish line, and he passes out as soon as he crosses the finish line. So he gets up, and once he gets himself together, he's in pain. And, of course, the announcers come, and she holds the mic up to his face and says, Why? Why did you keep running? It's an hour that's passed. Why would you do so? Why didn't you just quit? They urged you to retire. They urged you to quit. You know what he said? It gives me chills when I think about it. What he said was, my country did not send me here just to start. They sent me here to finish. When I think about that, the determination that we need in order to run this spiritual race is that. When you become a child of God, it is not meant for you just to be running for no reason. It's not just meant for you to start and have a lot of fire behind you for a little bit and then quit. It is meant for you to run. Run with determination. Run with a goal in mind. And the end goal is to receive the incorruptible crown. I admire a man that is willing to start what, finish what he started. So we not only need to run, but we got to finish. You got to finish. So before we can run this Christian race, saints, we must have a can-do attitude. The next thing we must do is we must be willing to hear the gospel. You must be a willing participant in hearing the gospel. But not only hearing it, because a lot of us have heard the gospel being preached. A lot of us have heard people beg and plead and say, change your life, obey the gospel, do what's necessary. You've heard it, but I need for us to be willing to hear the gospel with a view towards obedience. There's a difference. I hear it, and not only does it touch my heart, I want to be obedient because of it. I want to operate in faith. I want to operate in obedience. That is the goal. The goal is not to hear and do nothing. The goal is to hear and do everything that he's asked us to do. It says in Matthew 11 and verse 15, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. We all know that most of us talk more than we listen. But I think God designed it in a special way. He gave you two ears and one mouth. We need to listen twice as much as we talk. Amen. John chapter 10 and verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You have heard the gospel call. You have heard the gospel being preached. You need to obey it and be obedient to it. But then once you hear it and once you understand it, I don't have a I can't attitude or want. Now it's can do, and I'm determined, and now I've heard the gospel and I'm a willing participant. So what must I do? Now that I understand what's going on, I also must know that it costs. You have to start counting the costs. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. I want to look at verse 26 through 33, but I'll probably do 26 through 30. That's Luke chapter 14, 26 through 30. We must be willing to count the cost. He says, if anyone comes to me, beginning in verse 26, Luke 14, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He's trying to help you understand that you got to count the cost. When you begin to be a follower of Christ, you got to count the cost. Verse 28, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost? We all do. I mean, I think that the last time when things is tight, you count the cost on everything. Okay, well, if I got this much, and then I got to get some gas, and I got to get something to eat. You're counting the cost. When you have to build something, you got to purchase something, you're counting the cost. When you're on a budget, you count the cost. He's simply saying, when you're talking about loving me, coming after me, running this spiritual race, you have to count the cost. You have to put everything in perspective that nothing else goes above him. Nothing else matters. He says, otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What does that say about us as believers and followers of Christ? We call ourselves Christians. We say we love God. We say that we're all in. We're all about the word of God and living this life. But yet it does not reflect that of God, the life of Christ. So what happens is we be mocked. They talk about God. That's the reason why I don't go to church. That's the reason why I'm not in this Christian thing. I was having a discussion with one of my brothers, and he said that you know, we're in this era where I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Whatever that means. To me, what that says is I'm not willing to be accountable because I don't want to count the cost. I don't want any accountability. So I don't do all the things that come along with me having to be accountable. We must be willing to count the cost. The other thing that we must do is we must be willing to do His will. So now that you've counted the cost, you understand all of these things. Now you must be willing to hear and do His will in your everyday life. John chapter 7 and verse 17, if any man willeth to do His will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. We must be willing to hear and do what He's telling us to do. The other thing is this. If you're going to be successful in running this spiritual race, you need the proper nutrition. You got to have the proper nutrition. I'm telling you, a runner is not going to get very far if he hasn't fed his body the right things. If you're not feeding your spiritual man or your spiritual woman, you're not going to get very far in this spiritual race. Runners need energy. You need that spiritual carbohydrate so that you cannot dehydrate. You need protein, the spiritual word of God, the meat to get strong bones and muscles so that you can endure. You need water for lubrication and cooling. Some of us need to be dipped. Some of us need to be dipped again. We need the proper nutrition in order to run the Christian race. The other thing we need is the bread of life. We need the bread of life. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, the word of God, the infallible word of God says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So you're telling me, come to you, obey you, and I'll never be hungry again. I'll never thirst again. I'll never want again. Absolutely. The bread of life. What we need, John chapter 6 and verse 48, I am the bread of life, the bread and the water that you need. It's in Christ. The spiritual nutrition that you need begins with you being in Christ. And a lot of people miss that. A lot of people think that they are spiritually okay. I'm a good person. Things are in order and I have it. If you don't have Christ, if you miss Him, you've missed it all. And then, of course, we need the milk and meat. I looked at the outline, so the meat is in there, so it'll look like milk and meat. But maybe we do need milk and meat. A little more. I guess you can never have more than enough meat. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babies long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that ye may grow thereby unto salvation. We got to start somewhere, so you got to get the milk. You got to start as babes in Christ, you got to get the milk. But then as we grow up, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, and even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is what we need. You got to have the proper nutrition. You want to run, you want to endure, you got to have the proper nutrition. And you need the water of life. The water of life. In John chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, the word of God says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I hope we understand that the water of life is something that we have to have. You'll never go thirsty in this spiritual race. because you have Christ. You'll never be dehydrated spiritually because you have Christ. And you're being obedient to his will. You have a can-do attitude. You are determined to do what it is that is necessary to shoot for the goal, which is an incorruptible crown. These are the things that we need. And these metaphors teach us to believe on Jesus and learn his teachings and know how to eat the bread and consume the meat and drink the water spiritually so that we will never thirst again. And above all, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it says we must hunger and thirst after righteousness. That says Matthew 5, 6. I don't know why it's dark like that, but Matthew 5 and 6, we must hunger and thirst after righteousness. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 6 and verse 29, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye may believe on him whom he has sent. We have to be there. We have to have this understanding. Then you got to have that proper training. And the reason why that we need proper training, the reason why we need proper training is to minimalize spiritual injury. To minimalize spiritual injury. Some of us are running this race, are experiencing some spiritual cramps right now. Some of us that are running this race have received a spiritual ankle sprain. Some of us are spiritually dehydrated right now. And I'm here to tell you that it's time for you to get your carbohydrates through the Word of God, get back in the race, start running, put some spiritual tape around that ankle, put that spiritual knee brace on, put some spiritual Vicks Vapor Rub on, whatever you need to do to get back in this race so that you can finish to receive the incorruptible crown you must do. But that starts with proper training. A runner isn't going to get very far without proper training. He has to have self-discipline. Proper training produces a self-discipline. Running is a sport. Listen, running is a sport that has to be worked on every day. It's not something you can do every now and then. It's not one of those things that you can do every now and then. It's an everyday thing. This is an everyday thing. In order for you, let me tell you something. Most people say, they get up in the morning and say, I'm going to run a 5K. You can't run a 5K until you run a 1K. And if you try to run a 5K and you've never run a 1K, it's not going to be okay. It's going to be a bad day. One must purge bad habits and develop good habits. And that starts with proper training. And so what do you need in order to do this? Well, first and foremost, you have to exercise patience. Patience is necessary. Steadfastness is necessary. Discipline is necessary. I want to say to you that you must be willing in this race to endure the pain, because there are going to be moments where you're going to be in pain. There are going to be moments where you want to quit. There are going to be moments where you get tired. There are going to be moments when people are booing. No one is on your team. No one is in the crowd cheering you on. No one is giving you a hand on a pat on the back and giving you that applause. But you have to know and rest assured that your faith is in God, and knowing that because you are obedient to him and you're running this race with a determination and a can-do attitude, that you will receive an incorruptible crown. You must be willing to endure the pain, but it requires a daily regimen so you can compete and complete the race. We got a lot of people running, but they're falling out. They're getting out of the race. They're falling by the wayside. But you need to know that you got to have that proper training. So self-discipline, what happens? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, so let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. There are many of us running, but we're not sober. We're not spiritually sober. We're not aware of what's happening. We're not aware of what God is telling us to do, what he's commanded us to do, how we ought to live, how we ought to be, how we ought to love, how we ought to run. We're just coming up with ways in order for it to feel good to us. What works for me? I need a religion that fits my agenda. I need something that works with my schedule. Sundays, even though it says on the first day of the week, you know, we could do it on a Sunday, right? Saturday, maybe? No, we have to stop doing that, and you have to be willing to be self-disciplined. The other thing is endurance. Endurance is necessary. James chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." In 2 Timothy 2 and 10, it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And then the last and proper training is patience. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Here is the patience of the saints, that they keep the commandments of God and that the faith of Jesus." We got to be willing to. We have to be patient. We have to be patient in our sins as they change. As we walk and turn away from those things, it does not happen overnight. Many of us want this thing to happen overnight, but I'm telling you that you got to be patient in your sins and in change. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, "And the repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Listen, it's going to take time for us to get the word out to everybody. It's going to take time for people who hadn't listened that you've been talking to for 10 years, but you got to have the patience. As a matter of fact, the most important thing is when you look in the mirror and you're talking to that person that's looking back at you, having the patience to endure this race is necessary. And last but not least, the proper attire. You got to have the proper attire. Let me tell you something. A runner won't last long without the proper attire. He has to have the proper attire. I mean, have you ever ran a 5K in an Eskimo suit? It's not a good look. It won't work well. You got to have on good clothing. The clothing is necessary. What is needed? Not the brand, but the proper clothing. And then he has to have good shoes. Have you ever tried to, women, have you ever tried to run a 40-yard dash in some stilettos? Give it a shot to see how far you make it. It won't work. Men, have you ever tried to run or play basketball in some Stacy Adams? It won't work. Cowboy boots? Not a good deal. You have to have the proper attire. We need the proper attire to begin this race. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And then what I'm thinking about is Galatians 3 and 27, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." That's putting on the proper clothing when you put on Christ. And many of us don't have on the proper clothing, but yet we think that we're running. You don't even have on the proper attire in order to be in the race. That's that number that you need. You know, when you run a race, they give everybody a number to know who they are, that they are official, that they are real runners. That's what happens when you go down into the watery grave of baptism. You are in that number. And then the right shoes in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. It says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." You got to have the gospel with you. You got to have it with you. So let me tell you something. You got to have these things in order to run the race. You got to have these proper attitudes and things to run the race. So in conclusion, I'm not going to tarry long. I want you to understand that we must be prepared to run a Christian race. So what do we need? What do we need? We got to have the proper attitude. And what that means is hear the gospel being preached with a view towards obedience. Secondly, the proper nutrition. And that is believing in Jesus the Christ and his teachings. Third, engaging in the proper training, repenting of your sins and changing your life. And last, wearing the proper attire, putting on Christ in baptism. So if you're here this evening and you have been running the race, but not with the proper attitude, with the proper attire, with the proper nutrition, with the proper training, I am pleading with you and telling you that this is the time. This is the time. Don't wait, don't tarry. Become a new creature in Christ. And if you are a Christian and you've fallen by the wayside, you've been experiencing those spiritual cramps that I'm talking about, you've been experiencing those pains as you're trying to run this race, this is your opportunity to put all those things aside. Put Christ first and start living for him and running the race with determination and a purpose. And that is to receive an incorruptible, a non-perishable crown. So if you're here this evening and you desire to have Christ in your life or to be rededicated or to let anything that means to be known, you need to do so right now as together we stand and sing.